We have only one questioner, Dr. Reva.
Hello. My question is, if the inflation lasts longer than 60-year foldings, we could not say anything about how inflation starts from observations. Don't you think that the case in which we can observe something is a great fine-tuning? Why the inflation why the inflation duration should be close to 60-year folds, nor 100-year folds or more?
Well, there's no reason a priori, apart from the fact that typically at the level of the Lagrange effective field theories that one constructs, there are stability issues to keep the potential flat for very long. No? The eta problem is one example.
Yes, I mean very long plateau.
So basically, one can try with this kind of situation, although you bring to a limit a lot of other problems. Because, for example, all this issue of diluting inhomogeneities and the like, when you go to short inflation, it becomes marginal. So you would say, what do you put it for if you make it short and you don't dilute things a lot? Actually, if you look at things a little bit more carefully, you realize that there is a compensation effect. Namely, the first multiples that are the most subject to this problem, because they are the ones that exited the horizon earlier, they do come back with this kind of pollution, if you want, but at the same time they give you a blurred image of the over the sky, so there is a compensation effect. I agree it's marginal, and as I stated, at some point when you go and insert this power spectra which are modified in the infrared, you insert a bias in your analysis of the data, because you insert your prejudice that what you are seeing is this kind of effect, which is natural, as I argued, if this Mukano Sasaki potential changes sign, and therefore if you see some glimpses of the scale slowing down. Then what you can do is see whether the scale plays any kind of role in the analysis, and you need the extra type of information related to other observables that could point in the same direction. For instance, I didn't talk about tensor perturbations in these kinds of models, and there are some mild effects on those which are generic with these kinds of potentials. Roughly speaking, the tensor spectrum is mildly increased in the low K region. And there are other effects, other anomalies actually, that I learned from my cosmologist friends. There are apparent unjustified alignments between the first multiples. So to speak, you know, the quadruple points in a certain direction and the octuple follows in the same direction, which is a sign of something which is not completely smoothed from the point of view of isotropy. More than this I cannot say, of course, because you are pushing the thing to a limit and seeing whether it makes sense. The point for me was that all these kind of scenarios are motivated, as I stressed, from the fact that in string theory there are ubiquitously this type of effects on the vacuum that show up when you break supersymmetry, namely the modification of the vacuum itself and the appearance of potentials which are generically run away. Since potentials that are generically run away have a meaning, not only make sense, but have a meaning in this kind of context, whereas if you try to do physics in flat space with them, it's a disaster because you have to do resummations. Lo and behold, they don't make sense. To make sense of these models, one is led to try to see whether they have this kind of effects. Now, the second step of seeing whether in the CMB you see this kind of effect is not logically connected. You could have the effect there hidden in the past of many folds of inflation, and then it's a theoretical speculation which is computationally correct. The fact that if you have a scalar that moves faster and then slows down, you have some sort of you have a depression of the power spectrum before you attain this Chibyshov-Mukhanov tilt. You have some scalar Bremsstrahlung, typically some oscillations, but the question is that you stop there. Then the second step, I agree with you, it's not logically motivated, but you say, why not? If the phenomenon is there, let's try to see what's the best scenario. The best scenario is that the phenomenon is sitting there for us. And it's not obviously contradictory to the idea of homogeneity and isotropy, because it's marginal, and that's why people push it down to 60 folds. Plus these other issues about the potential. I don't know if I answered your question.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure.
Are there more questions?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes.
Daniele Peretti, University of Manchester. Mine is just a curiosity. Maybe you said that this morning, but I missed this detail. You know, when you look at the acoustic oscillations from Planck data, there is a point in the low multiple region which is very well outside the cosmic variance band.
Yes.
Do you manage to fit that as well?
Now, let me tell you how the story went. The story went in two steps. The first step is this... I called it Landau-Ginzburg, a sort of crude semi-analytic analysis. And this I did myself with this colleague of mine, Kitazawa, that played with this game with me, because you can do it precisely semi-analytically, and you go up to this L equal 20,
yes,
L equal 30, you know? That is the typical thing. In that context, with these types of models that are... so to speak, motivated from string theory to some extent.
Sorry, I'm talking about that point, by the way.
Sorry?
I'm talking about that point. If you go back to the...
No, I understand. I understand. I can show you... I know what you're talking about, and I can tell you what I know. Mm. Now, the closer I went to something that is sort of nice-looking in that respect is when I played with this, these types of models, which contain the exponential derived, if you want, from first principles, from string theory. This critical exponential that forces the scalar to hit this exponential wall bounce. And in bouncing, the scalar slows down, and the slowing down produces typically a preinflationary peak. Intuitively, the scalar slows down, and the spectrum tries to go up as though the scalar was in slow roll. But then when it speeds up again, it goes down. This type of situation with the double peak was introduced adding this single perturbation that you could add. You have to be very mild, otherwise the scalar stops there and then you don't do anything. Then you get this kind of phenomenon, which means a double peak and a very steep rise. If you try to compare with the first few multiples, you get this type of situation. So you see that you get this dip around L equal 20, and you get these peaks around L equal 5. Very natural. You cannot move them. You can play with this kind of thing. This kind of figure is there. The reason why I was not really bringing it to your attention as a real solution of the problem is that these kind of models have this very slow rise. And from the CMB, you know that you have to attain the spectral index behavior within a little bit more than a decade. Now, if you want to do that, then I turn to another way of looking at the problem, which is this, if you want, model-independent analytic method. The Mukhanov-Sasaki equation is a Schrödinger equation. You can solve exactly this one-dimensional scattering-like problem for certain special forms of the potential, which, if you want, generically are Coulomb-like potential. Otherwise, it becomes complicated. And with that, you can try to compare with the data. In that case... you attain the attractor behavior quickly, so there is no difficulty, and then you can turn, essentially, this type of systems this type of systems lend themselves to a full cosmological analysis, which is what I hinted to at the end. This cosmological analysis is good in some respect and rough in another one, because in this case you introduce a single scale into the problem, so certainly you cannot understand this peculiar point outside. You can say you can understand it in average, and you can give a parametrization, if you want, to this decrease of the spectrum, and the parametrization to the decrease of the spectrum determines in a reasonable way, modulo this subtlety with a galactic mask to 99.4% confidence level, a scale which is about 2,800 megaparsec, to be compared with the To be compared with the size of 3000, which is the size of the observable patch. So you see an effect, you see an effect close to the size of the observable patch, because of course that's what you are to expect it, because you're modifying only the first few multiples. But in this way of doing things, you are not sensitive anymore to this kind of small details. Because as I showed you at some point, if I want to try to simulate with these analytic models, which are sort of universal, if you want, even the tilt. You see, this is a very rough tilt, very rough model for this oscillatory tilt, which is obtained just by tilting the potential. If you want, you add another parameter into the fit. Then, if you are familiar with these kind of games, adding another parameter gives you a determination, but gets a worse result for the determination of the first parameter. So instead of being a 99% confidence level, you go a 97.5 confidence level. So the more parameters you put in, the worse it becomes. In fact, when I was trying to communicate with these cosmologist friends, I was building up analytic forms of this spectra, and we were not getting anywhere. We got somewhere a little bit when I lowered a little bit the kind of request to a single parameter, or at most two.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. Are there more questions from the cosmologists? No? Then I'd like to thank the speaker once again for a very nice talk and nice discussions. Thank you very much.